This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
First of all, I want to also thank all the sponsors. All the neshamas should have an aliyah. All those who are in need of refuahs and yeshuas should be zaycheh, that should be bekar of mamash. I want to thank the chevah here in the shul and in Israel, and all the chevah back in Eish Kodesh, all the hanhala that made it possible, and all the hard work that went into this and always goes into this. I want to thank Avi and Aryeh and Yosef and Gadi. Yosef and I have already been together in Uman, Breslev, Mezhbiz, Radichev, Yerushalayim. And we also stop off here a little bit too, sometimes. So Bez Hashem, this is the music that's going to bring us and that's going to be together with us, Bez Hashem, when we meet Mashiach Zikein. Nachum Bekashim is Asmeinu, Lenishma Satsadik HaKodesh, Yisoy Dailam. Rabbeinu Kolonim is Kalmish, and Rabbeinu Aveli Malach, Schusir Yelenu Hashem Karmdom. I also wanted to mention, I forgot to mention Yaakov Shmarkler, who takes care of everything. That's all. That takes care of everything. At the single amount. You know, there's an expression that Jews have. Our language reflects the essence of who we are. And there's an expression to describe a person when you can't really single out exactly what it is about this person that is so unique, that's so different, and why you love this person so much. And Jews say, as Ashayna Yid, he's a beautiful Jew. Ashayna Yid. It's a very, very deep thing. I once spoke to you, to the Chevron Shul, about a conversation, that I read about a certain conversation, that there were two Jews who were trying to remember somebody that they had once met, and one fellow was trying to remind the other, they couldn't remember the name and who it was, but he said, you remember so-and-so that we met? He says, no, I don't remember. He said, you remember that he was hunchbacked? He said, hunchback? He said, you remember he had his nose was crooked nose? You remember he had a huge, you know, bump on the side of it? Like all these horrible, you know, mumim and pogomim. And then the guy finally remembers, yo, your uncle's Hashemi Yid. Oh, what a beautiful Jew, Hashemi Yid. Hashemi Yid. Brother Ben Shalom, in Hashem Shabbos eyes, every single one of us is a Shani Yid. We have much bigger bruises than the ones I just enumerated. But in Hashem Yisbach's eyes, every single one of us is a Shani Yid, is a beautiful Jew. But once upon a time, it once was that there was one particular person regarding whom the Baruch Shalom said through the words of David Malkin Meshicha, "Es Takeh Sheini Yid." It says in Pasuk, in Mem Hei, in Kapitel Mem Hei, in Tehillim, "Yaf Yafisa Mibnei Adam." You have more beauty than all others. "Hutzak Chayin B'Sif Seisecha." Your words are filled with chayin. There's no real word in English for chen. Everybody knows grace, beauty. Your words are filled with chen. Hutzak chen b'sif seisecha. Al kein birachacha l'kim l'olam. So Hashem has blessed you forever. Yafyafisa bnei adam. Chayim, yoifi. The Hashem Zbach said about a person that you have more beauty than any other person, than anyone else. More beauty than anyone else. Now there are others who are described in Tanakh as being beautiful. But this person is Yafyafisa bnei adam. More beautiful than anyone else. So when we were kids in yeshiva, we used to have tests and Navi and Chumash, and you remember there used to be the Mi'amar Almiz? So then there used to also be Almin Ne'amar. Almin Ne'amar. So Almin Ne'amar. Who was David HaMelech talking about? Who was Hashem Zbach talking about? Yafyafisim ibn Adam. Hutzak Chayin. Hutzak Chayin. Bisif Seisecha, that your lips, your words are oozing with chayin, with grace, with charm, with beauty. The Medrash, Chazal Darshan, that entire parak, Yipit Lamehei, and Avraham Avinu. This is referring to Avraham Avinu. Nisyafisa bel yayin, nisyafisa betachtayinim. You are the most beautiful, you are beautiful be'el yayinim, even compared to all of the angels. And it's Yafisa b'tachtayim, and down here in this world, no one compares to you. You're so beautiful. What is this beauty of Avraham Avinu? When it says in Pasuk, Hutzak chayin, Yisif Seisecha, that your words are filled with grace, the Pasuk is clearly telling us that the secret of Avraham Avinu's beauty somehow is contained in his words, in the chayin of what he says. Now entering into the world of Avraham Avinu, we're returning back to that world of Avraham Avinu, to the one who's most beautiful and whose words are filled with chayin. And Hashem Zbach wants us to hear. And He wants us to be lifted by the beauty of Avraham Avinu. So let's try to understand. I think everybody here knows the Medrash. The Medrash is going on that same kapitel in Mem Hei. Marshal Echad Shehaiver, Mimokam Lamokam. Chazal bring a marshal for Avraham Avinu, a person who's going from place to place. The Ra, what does this person see? Bira Achas, Dolekes. There are different explanations, but he sees a building, a palace, something, Dolekes, shining. There's a light coming from some great palace. Bira achas delekes. Omar Taima Shahabira Hazu Bloy Manhik. So Avraham Avinu was wondering, and he said, is it possible that this Bira, that there's no Manhik, is it possible that there's no one who's in control, who's directing this, who's in charge? Is it possible? The Baal HaBira gazed upon the person. And he said, I am the Baal HaBira. Kach, the Medrash says, Lefi Shohaya Avinu Avraham Oimer. That Avraham Avinu was wandering from place to place. And he was wondering and he was crying. Taimer Shailam Hazah Beloy Manhig. Can it be that this world is Beloy Manhig? Can it be that this world is Hefka? There's no Manhig. Hitzis Alaba Kadosh Baruch Hu Vomaloy Anihu Baal HaOilam. Hashem Yisbarach appeared to him, gazed upon him, and said, I am the Baal HaOilam. I am the master of the world. So we all have been raised to believe, and we teach our children, that Avraham Avinu was sent into the world to be Magala Emunah B'Hashem, to reveal what that means to be Vehemen B'Hashem, what it means to be a Jew who believes in God, what it means to be a human being who believes in Hashem's Baruch. And the chain of his words, the grace and the beauty of Avraham Avinu, comes from Oidia Emunoscha Befi. Oidia Emunoscha Befi, that Avraham Avinu's life was given over completely with his mouth, with his words, to reveal the presence of God, to reveal the presence of the Bari Olam in this world, to mechazek, to be mekarev. And the chayin sifsei secha, the beauty and the grace of his words, were his words of Emunah. Now in Emunah there are two domains. There are two Rishuyas in the world of Emunah. The first is to believe that there's a creator, to believe that there's a Bari Olam, that there's one God who created heaven and earth and all worlds, Mali Kalam, Soivev Kalam. But the second Rishus, the second domain of Emunah, is to believe that not only did Hashem create the world, not only that He exists, that He is, and that He's the Creator, but that He's Manig Kol Habruim. That He's Manig Kol Habruim, that lays us upon Him, that there is no place without Him. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mekusha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu cares. The Kadosh Baruch Hu loves. Is Itcha, Imcha, Etzlecha. Not just that there's a creator, but that the creator is here. Itcha, imcha, eslecha, every single second of your existence, of your life, regardless of where you are or what you're doing. Now the first level of Emunah is relatively easy to teach. It's relatively easy to bring to the world, to spread to the world. And we see that to a large extent that over time it caught on. Regarding belief in a creator, Ish bar leida lo yedoch sil leyavne zayitz. Bem is only a person who's blind, who's oblivious, who's not thinking. Ish bar lo yedoch sil lo yavne zayitz. So regarding God's existence, regarding the fact that there's one God who created heaven and earth, that's not so great a challenge. But have you all know that the ka'ev, the pain of the world, you all know that the pain of the world and the reason that so many hearts are broken is because when people look at this bira that we live in, and they see a world of tzaddik viraloi and roshav etayvloi, they see great and wonderful people who are suffering terribly, and they see that the rishoyim, they see many rishoyim more successful. So from that apparent injustice, what seems like an injustice, it's not chalila, but it seems like an injustice, there's a tzaka, there's a scream that rises up from this world. By Malachi, by the Navi, the scream was, Amartem shav avoid elokim. The Navi there says that Hashem was saying, Chozku alai devreichem, that you speak things, you say things that are very harsh about me. You're saying things that are very, very hard for me to hear. Hashem says that. And what is it that's hard for Hashem to hear coming from the mouths of those whom He created? Amartem shav avoid elokim. Ma betza. Shav avoid elokim means, what's the point in serving God? What's the point in davening? I davened, and I didn't see that it worked. I love this person so much, I davened so hard. We're afraid to tell our children to daven for someone because we're not sure what we're going to do if they're disappointed and they're broken by seeing that the davening didn't seem to work. That shouldn't, chalila, affect their way of looking at Hashem. The Ramban writes in his introduction to Iyov that the whole Sefer Iyov is be'etzem at this tzaka, this scream. Of how is it possible? How could it be that Hashem Yisbarach loves me? How could it be that He feels b'chol tzarasam loitzar, that He feels the pain that I'm feeling right now? And how could it be that He's silent? How could it be that it seems to us that He's malam ayin, that He's not looking, He's not watching, that chalila, He doesn't care? And if that's chalila, if that's the truth, then shav avoid elokim, then what's the point of all that we're doing? This is the cave, this is the pain of the world. Now, regarding the first level of Amunah, that there is a God, that the world didn't just come to be on its own. So as far as that's concerned, Avraham Avinu came to the world and he had good schayra. And within a short time, Imamish created a stir, a revolution. Just like the Rebbe, the Piesetznes Chus Yaleinu, in his early writings, Chayvus HaTalmidim, when that came out, Chayvus HaTalmidim, the Rebbe used to say that he can't believe that he wrote such a sefer. He doesn't know how he wrote such a sefer. And he said it could only be that Hashem Yisbarach was taking my hand, because I don't know how I could write such a sefer. When Chayvus HaTalmidim came out and was being passed all around Poland, and then it reached Russia and other places where Jews were, and Mamish caused a mahapecha, it caused a revolution. Because that's chayra of belief in God. It's relatively easy to sell. The nations of the world have, to a large extent, bought that as well. But then something happened. that the tzaddik went from one place to another place. There's firm that say that delekes doesn't have to mean that it was something cheerful and wonderful and bright. Doesn't have to mean a castle that was lit up and shining. But a bir delekes means that the tzaddik haya oivim yamokim lamokim yisur. That the bir of this world is on fire. Delekes means nisrefes. That the world is on fire. And although there is much good in the world, but the tzaddik is over me, mokim lemokim. You know, there were tzaddikim who went into Golus. The Rebbe Meilach and his brother, the Rebbe Zusha, the Vilna Gaon, another tzaddikim, that they went intentionally into Golus. To be able to try to understand, to feel the pain of the Bira Delekes, of a world that was on fire. So here it becomes difficult. How is Avraham Avinu? How is this tzaddik supposed to be mashpia, emunat, belief, that the Rebbeinu Shlalom is not only that there's a creator, but that the creator cares, that the creator loves, that the creator feels your pain, that the creator sees what you're going through. That the creator is itcha, imcha, and etzlacha, that he's mamish every second, lays us upon him. When you see the crematoria before your eyes, some of you might remember in shul. I don't remember when I mentioned this, but Naftali Lau, Olav Shalom, Rabbi Lau's brother Naftali, who saved his life, almost carried him out of it on his own back. He brought him out of the milchama. And when Naftali finally came to Eretz Yisrael, you remember, it's before the Beis Yisrael was Rebbe. It's when the Imre Emes was still alive. And of course, Naftali Lau, they knew who he was. He was the son of the famous tzaddik, the Pietrukov Harav. And he survived the war in the Beis Yisrael. And when Naftali took a walk Friday night, and they were discussing different things, and all of a sudden the Beis Yisrael stopped in the middle of the street in Yerushalayim Friday night, and he took hold of Naftali Lau and he said, "Zugmir, tell me, did you see it?" And Naftali asked him, "Did I see what?" He said, "Did you see the crematorium? In Buchenwald, did you see?" The Beis Yisrael was not there. "Did you see the fires?" And Naftali said, "I saw them." And then the Beis Yisrael asked him, "And did you see the smoke coming up? Did you see the smoke coming up?" Crematorium is Kibshan Ha'esh. "Did you see the smoke coming up?" And Naftali Lau said, "Rebbe," he wasn't Rebbe, he said, I saw. And then they walked a little bit, and then the Beis Yisrael was shaking, and he grabbed him again. He said, "And tell me something, in the smoke, did you see the Bari Arlam? Did you see Hashem Yisbarach in the smoke?" And Naftali said, he just put his head down, he didn't know what to say. So Avraham Avinu was living in a Bir de Lekis. The Rebbe of Kolonimus Kalmish, the Eish Kodesh, was living in a Bir de Lekis, in a world that was set on fire, mamash. Everything had become a Gehenna. And in that Bir de Lekis, how is the tzaddik supposed to be mashpia? How is he supposed to give over? Not just that there's a God somewhere, somehow, but that in all of this, in the Bir de Lekis, that in the smoke, there's a Bari Arla. And it wasn't only a beer that was Dilekis. And it wasn't only in Warsaw, it was everywhere the Rebbe turned his eyes. Parents who were burned. Children burned. Tzaddikim, Rosh Hashivas, Rebbes, Rabbanim burned. The simple, naive emunah, simple faith of Jews burned. A Bir de Lekis. So somehow, in a great and mysterious way, Avraham Avinu was sent into a crazy world filled with hestapanim. Hastara beside hastara. A hester within a hester. And the Rebbe was sent in a Bir de, into the Bir de Lekis of that time, from 1939 to 1945. And Shom Kanisa Hoidcha V'Hadarecha. As great as the Rebbe was before the Milchama, as holy as he was, as respected as he was, as much chayin, as beautiful as he was, because they said about the Rebbe, and I have spoken to people who saw him, I've had the schus to meet a few men and women who saw the Rebbe with their own eyes, and they said that when the Rebbe walked into a room, it took away your breath. It took away your breath. He was so beautiful. Azar Shayneid. And then when he would begin to speak, Hutzak chayin b'sif soysecha. You have more beauty than others. But what made Avraham Avinu so beautiful? What made the Rebbe so beautiful? That even there, he was able to take Jews who saw everything in their lives burning, being destroyed. The Rebbe saw his own family over the time from Sukkot till Simchas Torah. Everything was destroyed. His whole life, everybody in his life was destroyed. And a few years ago, I read to you a little bit the description of one of the survivors, one of his chassidim. And this was after the death of his rabbitson and his son and the daughter-in-law. The whole mishpacha. And it was Simchas Torah. And it was so dangerous to be on the street. And there were very, very few people who dared to go to the hakafis that were being held secretly by the Rebbe. So there were only a handful of Jews who were there by the hakafis. So So one of his students who had remained behind with the Rebbe and managed to survive the Holocaust recorded this description of what took place afterwards in the Bais Medrash. So everybody left. The ones who came, they left very early. They stayed just for a little bit. Hakof, and they ran out. There only some very brave ones who stayed with the Rebbe. See, here's the description translated into English. There we were, less than a million of broken and shattered Jews, reduced to nothing. Suddenly, the Rebbe stood up and began to sing Eish Eschayil in the traditional niggun of Karlin with great enthusiasm and fiery dveikus, as he had done during Simchas Torah festivities in previous years. For more than an hour he continued to sing Eish Eschayil, revealing a great yearning for higher levels of spirituality. It was as if he was the only one in the room, completely removed from this world. Hot tears were streaming down from his eyes like rivers of water, while the sound of his voice caused hearts to tremble. Who would have believed that here was a man in the midst of mourning his only son, where the blood of tens of thousands of Jews was spilled on the streets like water? He was singing in honor of the Torah which is eternal. Surely the nation to which Hashem gave His eternal Torah will also endure for eternity. Nobody in the world will ever manage to defeat it. Slowly the feeling of gloom and despair began to subside. We became oblivious to our surroundings, to the Nazi Satan running wild in the streets, to the exploding bombs, to the brutally murdered. We were floating in another world entirely. The Rebbe's singing grew louder and louder, and we were all swept up by his fervor. It was as if everything was ascending in heaven along with the flame that had burst forth from his heart. Every one of us felt how the innocent dove, Knesset Yisrael, the Eish Eschayil, a woman of valor, the crown of her husband, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was spending a private moment with her beloved, Hashem Yisbarach, on this day of Simchas Torah. Even in the midst of this Hestaponim, when Hashem's presence is hidden from us, we heard His voice calling to us from amidst the darkness, the clouds and the fog, "Come, Nagila v'Nismach HaBarach, let us rejoice together." These moments are etched in my heart forever. I did not forget them even when face to face with the crematoria, and I will never forget them for eternity. That's the meaning of Tzadik Bebenosa Yichya. So Baal Shem and other Tzadikim said Yichya is Yichaya, that the Tzadik has the ability to bring life to those who are dying. In a Bira Delekis, Mishrashi brings down Sanhedrin by Avraham Avinu Hecheyisa Loikol Boy Oilam Bidvorim, that with his words he was able to revive the world. And the Rebbe said the Torah that we have in Eish Kodesh. The Rebbe was saying those Torahs, and then when he was taken away to the last moment, to give hope, to give chiyus to Jews who were completely destroyed by the Milcham. From where did he take that strength? From Behem and Bashem. The Rebbe was Ash Sheni Yid, a beautiful Jew. A beautiful Jew is a Jew. Every Jew is beautiful. But Yefyafisim Ibnei Adam, you're the most beautiful Jew. Rebbe, we weren't there, we don't know, we heard stories. And we're sure that you're listening now and you hear us. You are the most beautiful Jew. And the words that you spoke had such chayin. And the Jews that you said those words to, most of them were killed. But there are children, there are grandchildren who are alive. And we want to thank you for giving us life. Because we're living in a different kind of a Bira Delekis. We're living in a different kind of a world that's on fire. So I want to end, I'll tell you a little story. I just saw this today, this story. Reb Dovgul Dinever, the son of the Bnei Yisachar Shushalan, have said over this Maisa. Reb Dovgul Dinever, Samach David, said over this Maisa. There was a big, big tzaddik. It was a tzaddik nister, a huge Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yeshua from Dinev. Most people never heard of him. Rabbi Sheila Dinever. This Rabbi Sheila Dinever was actually one of the rebbeim of the Bnei Yisachar. He himself was a Talmud of the Rebbe Reb Zusha. And all the stories you ever heard of the Rebbe Reb Zusha, have you ever heard about a Talmud of the Rebbe Reb Zusha? Every Jew is Rebbe Zusha's Talmud. But we never heard of a name. This Rebbe Sheila Dinever was the closest to the Rebbe Reb Zusha. He was also by Kedushas Levi. He was also by Moshe Leib Sasef. But his Rebbe was the Rebbe Reb Zusha. Reb Sheila Dinever. And there's a maisa that this Reb Sheila Dinever had a chassid who got into his head. He got into his head that he is going to bring a seisa mechuvah. He is going to bring chickens for the Rebbe's kaparas. He's going to bring a few roosters for the Rebbe to pick which one he wanted to shlok kaparas. He got into his head, the chassid, he's going to be the one to be mezakeh the Rebbe with kaparas. Say that. It was already very cold. And this chassid lived 50 kilometers away from Dinev. There was no Uber. You understand? He slept, he walked, carrying a whole sack of chickens. 50 kilometers to get to Dinev, to give the Rebbe, to give the Tzaddik a choice, to look, to take kaparos. So he comes to Reb Sheila's house and he walks in, he has like frost all over him. And he comes in and he says, Rebbe, and the Rebbe so happened to see him. It said his name in the Maaseh, I don't remember his name. And the Rebbe was so happy to see him. And they right away, the Bnei Mishpacha brought him blankets to sit him down. And he has this big sack. And he says, Rebbe, I brought you chickens to shlok kapar. And the Rebbe says, wow, shkoyach, shkoyach. And he takes down his sack and he opens it up. And he sees that Alles gestorben. Kulam meitu. All the chickens are dead. And he starts to cry. He's beside himself. All he wanted was to be mezakeh the Rebbe. He had an Indian, but you know, he had this thing. I mean, a Jew has such a thing in his head, you know, and he risked his life to bring the Rebbe chickens to shlok kaparos, and he looks this one, that one, they're all dead. So the Rebbe looks inside, and the Rebbe feels so bad for this seed that he did that for him. And the Rebbe said to him, Reb Sheila Dinever said to him, whatever his name is, Yankel, What are you so upset? They just got cold. They got a little bit cold. You also got cold. It's cold. It's just got cold. He says, come over, bring them here next to the oven. They're okay. They're just cold. Chickens, they're just cold. He says, Rabbi, it's all just starving. They're dead. I know chickens. No, they're cold. They're frozen a little bit. They're okay. Bring them over here. They bring them to the fire. And the Rebbe starts pulling them out and putting them by the oven. And one by one, they start to... And it says in this, it says there that within a minute, there are like five little chickens dancing all around the house, making a whole balagan. And Reb Shila and the Chassid did a little dance with the chickens. So what do you think the Rebbe is saying about us? He's saying, Rabbi Shalom, they're not dead. They just got a little bit cold. They're not dead. So Rabbi Shalom says that you saw this guy's davening. The Rabbi Shalom says, I understand this in you. He's gestorben. This guy is dead. The Rabbi Shalom says, this guy is dead. And he says about this one, all kinds of crazy avarice. The Rosh Hashanah says, I'm telling you, this guy is dead. Look how he sits there. Garnish, he can't, he has no life, he's dead. And the tzaddik's inyan is to take a Jew and to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they do more after this world than even in this world, to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, Rabbi Shalom, he's not dead. He got cold. He got a little bit of a frost in Galus, you know. It's been more than 50 kilometers from Yerushalayim, you know. He got cold. And somehow the tzaddik, I don't know, takes you out, and gives a shake and gives a kvetch, says a couple of words, and then you're in his presence. Tzak chen sif seisecha. You have your feast of an yodim, and somehow we're able to do a little of a dance, you know, every now and then. We're able to come back to life every now and then. So in Aschus, the tzaddik who we're now holding was the Shabbos of the Yahrzeit, who ended his life seeing everything die. And when his eyes closed, what was he thinking? When his eyes closed, would he ever have imagined that all over the world there are going to be Jews, chickens, running around the room from his beauty and his words? So in that schus, Rabbi, all of us are waiting for the day that we should be zeichet to see hakitzav ranan u'shoichnei ofer, that those who are lying in the dust, those who weren't even able to have a kevi yisrael, that they should all arise from that place. And that Hashem should take all of his hens and roosters and all of Am Yisrael back to Yerushalayim for the big dance with Mashiach Sakeinu with the Glashvah Mitis. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.